The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL. So what are we talking, all the trades?
Yeah, madness. Trade madness happened.
All right, so let's recap everything that happened yesterday. The Los Angeles Rams started by trading Marcus Peters to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Right?
Which, for a minute, looked hilarious because they already lost Aqib Talib to injury, right?
Right.
So you ship Marcus Peters off. Suddenly, you've gone from having Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib as your starting corners to having Troy Hill and David Long. And David Long literally hasn't played a snap for them yet this season.
As much as we like David Long.
Right. And as much as I love Troy Hill.
Right.
That seemed like a downgrade. Let's just put it that way. And it actually seemed like, you know, we're not in love with this cornerback position. So I said to you after it happened, like, I wonder if they're maneuvering for Jalen Ramsey, because otherwise this is kind of ballsy, right? The team that thinks they're heading, you know, to the playoffs, want to go for a Super Bowl again, to just go, you know what, we don't need cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we're factoring in Nickell Robey-Coleman as their slot, but he doesn't play outside effectively. You would need, you know, you're talking about two starters. You're talking about two guys that need to man the outside most of the time.
Peters is just such an interesting player because he came over from Kansas City, where we always talked about he gives up a lot of yards, but he's a playmaker. I mean, just all the interceptions that he's had through the years, some of them are incredible. Some of them, he has no business even being there. He's just this instinctual player where he'll be playing man coverage and he'll just peel off his man and go pick one off. Or he's just got good zone instincts. He knows how to bait quarterbacks. He knows how to get baited by quarterbacks. You know, it's just this really boomer bust type of style of play. Last year, Peters did not play particularly well. Plus, you have all these open field tackles that he was missing. Like, things just didn't go great. This year was a little bit more of the same. He's got two picks, a pick six, pass breakup, but he's also given up over 16 and a half yards per reception. I mean, it just, nothing sums up Marcus Peters by saying, look, he's going to give up a ton of yards, but he's going to make some plays. He's given up two touchdowns. I think the problem with the Rams, though, is Aqib Talib, who had been, since about 2012 or 13, extremely consistent. I mean, he was in that, you know, top 10 cornerback range year over year, could play man, could play zone, really good at everything. And he had really been struggling, and he's given up 160 yards as well, 112 passer rating into his coverage. So all of a sudden, the Rams cornerback situation went from a strength. What we thought on paper was, oh, Talib and Peters, right? You could deal with Peters giving up a little bit if he's going to make some of those big plays.
Yeah.
But not if Talib's giving it up too. So the Rams just went, all right, Talib's hurt. We're going full overhaul here.
So let's concentrate on the Baltimore side of it first, right? So Marcus Peters goes to Baltimore. They've had some issues in the secondary. They've been dealing with injuries. They've been, you know, dealing with guys missing. And, you know, guys like Maurice Kennedy has taken a ton of snaps for them this season. And that's obviously not an ideal situation.
Gene three-step.
Right. So they bring in Marcus Peters. They still have Marlon Humphrey, who's, you know, a tremendously talented player. He's the guy that punched the ball out from Juju Smith's hands to basically win that game for the Ravens over the Steelers. So how does he fit in to this secondary? And what does it do for them?
So I think the Ravens, so just to back up to the Rams real quick, they've played a lot more zone this year.
Right.
I think there was a point where they didn't fully trust those guys in man coverage. That's what Wade Phillips likes to run. So now in Baltimore, they're not there's no like distinctive, hey, they play man, they play zone. They do a little bit of everything. But I think at their best, they're the team that likes to create phantom pressure up front, you know, send four, but create a four, send five every now and again, leave the guys in man coverage in the back, and just create difficult passing lanes for quarterbacks and all that stuff. That's kind of where Peters did his best work with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's when he could play man, but he knew that there was some stuff going on up front that might get the ball out of the quarterback's hand a little bit quicker. So then he could ad lib a little bit. I mean, I think Baltimore, you talk about playmakers in the back end between Marcus Peters and Earl Thomas, just from a you can turn the ball over standpoint,
right?
That's incredible.
So they're another one of these teams that by and large runs that cover one, cover three look. You
right.
know, single high safety, obviously that makes sense. They bring in Earl Thomas, you know, the guy that makes the single high safety scheme work. So obviously they'd be running a ton of that. But between cover one and cover three, they're running that over 60-odd percent of the time. So that's what they're playing most of the time. And I think the key to a guy like Peters is mixing up what you're asking him to do, because I don't think you want him playing man coverage every single down.
Right.
Neither do I think just having him sit in the zone takes advantage of what he does best as well, because he is a physical corner sometimes and can, you know, really cause problems. So I think you do need to have the confusion as to what he's going to be doing, because that's where that ad-libbing makes a ton of sense, right? When you look up as a quarterback and everybody, you know, you think you read one thing and Peters is going to do something else, that's where the issues come, because you put the ball to an area that he's not supposed to be there. Suddenly Peters shows up because
right.
he changed something.
So I like it. I mean, the Ravens continue to be the team that's like, look, we're going to build from the back to the front. We're going to continue to just load up on, you know, in the secondary with good players that we think can make an impact, and just try to manufacture a pass rush up front. So it's furthering the coverage over pass rush okay. experiment.
What about the Rams side of things with Jalen Ramsey coming over?
All right, so they lose Marcus Peters, Talib to the injured list, and Jalen Ramsey
yeah.
coming in. Let's be honest about Jalen Ramsey here. I think talent-wise, he's as good as it gets in the NFL.
Yes.
The actual talent and his ability to do anything. I mean, he could play in the slot, he could play free safety, he could play outside, he could do it all. He's got one elite year of production, which was back in 2017 when the Jags defense was legit. But he's, you know, he's gotten beaten a little bit through the years. But I think I like the way Eric Eager summed it up, right? You've got a guy that's potentially at the most valuable position in the NFL, could actually be the most valuable defensive player in the NFL. But
yes.
it's highly volatile. And so there's a little risk in there, but
he's
it
also,
should make them better.
Yeah, he's also a great example of a guy whose numbers will always look worse because of the role he's been tasked with. So Patrick Peterson had this for years, right? It's like he yeah. may have the hardest job for among any cornerback, and that's the issue.
They're calling right now.
Uh-oh. Hard out has run in.
Sam's got a hard out. I'll finish it.
Are you going to bail on that?
Can you jump into the
nook?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give it a go.
I'm going to finish the podcast by myself. I've dreamed of this day, Sam. Finally, Sam's gone. And it's monologue time. This is what we do here on live YouTube. I get to give you all of the Jalen Ramsey analysis. Tyler, what do I address the camera now, or can I still just stare at my computer? This is just so confusing. What do I do? I do wish you had a cutout of Sam. We need to have that. That's next on the to-do list when we have to go. So just to wrap up our Jalen Ramsey thoughts here, a guy that in 2017 did have an incredible season. He's been a little bit up and down since then. Sam's point that he was about to make is like, hey, he's going to play some man coverage. He's going to play it against good corners. There's a lot, or against good receivers. There's a lot of times opposing offenses aren't really going to target Jalen Ramsey. But I think the value of a number one corner has that trickle down effect, especially if you use him creatively, if you use him in a more of a matchup role. And I think Wade Phillips at defensive coordinator knows how to use his talent. He's shown that through the years. There's some analysis out there that I disagree with. I see a lot of people saying this isn't going to help the Rams beat the 49ers in their division or the Seattle Seahawks. And I think too many people are getting short-sighted with you make moves to win the division, obviously, but you don't make every move just to match up with teams in your division. So the 49ers, just because they don't have a true number one receiver, or even the Seattle Seahawks, they don't necessarily have a true number one receiver, although DK Metcalf and, you know, Tyler Lockett, both two guys that, you know, you have to account for on that offense. Just because you don't have a DeAndre Hopkins, say, in the division doesn't mean you don't need Jalen Ramsey. You have to win more than the six games in your division. So Ramsey in a vacuum still does help the Rams, no matter who is in the division. Even if the Niners' top target is George Kittle and that the Rams, Seahawks' top targets aren't maybe household names. So I do think it still helps the Rams. I think the long-term implications here with the Rams, they give up a 2020 and 2021 first-round picks, meaning they just went three straight years without a first-round pick. They're going to be five straight years without a first-rounder since they got Jared Goff. And usually that's a difficult scenario to maneuver. They've done a good job to this point. They made the Super Bowl last year. They had great seasons in 2017 and 18. It's really tough to maneuver when you don't have impact players coming in. And I know Ramsey's an impact player, but eventually they're going to have to pay him. So it's just a win-now type of strategy in the NFL. There's always some inherent risk to it. But I do think Ramsey, in a vacuum, makes that defense better for now and in the long term. They also, the Rams, traded for Austin Corbett, an underachieving second-round pick. We liked him as more of a third-round player, I believe, in our draft board a couple of years ago. Cleveland Browns drafted him high in the second round. He was a guy who played tackle at Nevada, playing pretty much all across the line so far with the Browns and just never caught on. The Rams offensive line, let me just look where their pass blocking grade is right now, but it's among the worst, if not the worst so far. The Rams needed to make a move up front. Second worst pass blocking grade so far this year for a team that was much better last year on the offensive line. They've had a lot of question marks, injuries up front, so the Rams needed some kind of help on the O-line. I don't mind taking a flyer on an Austin Corbett. So very eventful day for the Los Angeles Rams. Marcus Peters out, Jalen Ramsey in, and Kenny Young also in, linebacker from the Ravens, and Austin Corbett in. So Rams making a ton of moves. They still feel like they've got a shot this season. Ultimately, though, they need the O-line to play better, and they need the defense to play better. And the Austin Corbett move and the Jalen Ramsey move are both moves in that direction. I've got no fun. I can't work off of anybody here. I was going to ask, what else do you think about this Jalen Ramsey move, Sam? Well, Sam loves Jalen Ramsey. He thinks he's a fantastic player, just needs to live up to his potential. All right, thanks, Sam. I appreciate that. That's good insight. That's what I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, so I'm interested to see what Wade Phillips does with the Rams. Do they start to play a little bit more man coverage? Sam talked about Troy Hill, David Long being out there. David Long, very good man coverage corner. If he could see the field, the corner out of Michigan, very good man coverage type of corner. Troy Hill, more of a zone instincts type of player. So we'll see how Wade Phillips plays to all their strengths. But I'll tell you this, the Rams have an Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on the field at the same time. It's pretty incredible just as far as the star power goes with the Los Angeles Rams. So we'll have much more on all of the trade on the PFF NFL podcast on Thursday. We'll be previewing week 7 action. Thanks to everybody for tuning in live here on YouTube. It's our special extra edition PFF NFL podcast. For Sam Monson, who's live on the radio right now, Wharton Moneyball, if you guys want to go check it out on SiriusXM. For Sam Monson, I'm Steve Palazzola. We'll talk to you Thursday, PFF NFL podcast, week 7 preview. Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week 1. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/Pro Football Focus NFL.